Hello and welcome to the C&D podcast. I'm Jo Shorthouse from C&D and you're listening to Series 5 of A Coffee With, a podcast series where we sit down with some of pharmacy's most inspirational women to talk about all facets of women in pharmacy. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll hear plenty of words of wisdom, so pour yourself a cup of your favourite hot beverage and join me for the latest instalment of A Coffee With.
In today's podcast episode of the series A Coffee With, I would like to introduce Danielle Hunt, your Chief Executive of Pharmacist Support. So Pharmacist Support is an independent charity which supports pharmacists and their families, former pharmacists, trainee pharmacists and pharmacy students with a range of free and confidential services from financial assistance to counselling and peer support. So before joining Pharmacist Support in January 2019, Danielle held extensive experience within the charity sector, but since joining Pharmacist Support, she has rolled out a new wellbeing focused 5-year strategy so that the charity meets the changing needs of pharmacy. This podcast episode is being recorded to celebrate Women's History Month in March, and what better way to celebrate than to chat with Danielle, one of the most influential women in pharmacy. Danielle, it's lovely to have you here to discuss what it's like being a female chief executive at Pharmacist Support and the journey it took to get to where you are today. So my first question is, why become chief executive at Pharmacist Support? Have you always been passionate about the charity and pharmacy sector, or did you just kind of fall into it?
That's a good question. I suppose I definitely did just kind of fall into the charity sector. I graduated with a maths degree and I'd worked in kind of banking whilst I did my degree. And when I graduated, I went to work in a large accountancy firm. And I think quite quickly I realised I probably wasn't on the right career path. I think I was always career driven, but I definitely felt like there was something missing and I wanted kind of a greater sense of purpose in what I was doing. So I just kind of took a complete detour and just took a 6-month contract at the charity Keep Britain Tidy, working on their schools programme. And ever since then, I've just worked in the charity sector. So I've obviously developed my career within the charity sector. And in terms of pharmacist support, I was actually looking for the next step in my career. I was operations director at Keep Britain Tidy at the time. So I'd started to look at opportunities and I came across pharmacist support and I thought the charity was really interesting. It was at a really interesting stage of its journey. The trustees were looking for a new strategy and I could see how some of my skills and experience could potentially help with the development of the new strategy. And I had quite a personal interest around mental health and wellbeing, and there was definitely a focus around that for the charity. So I applied, and it was actually the first position I applied for, the chief exec position. And I surprisingly got it and kind of have ended up here ever since.
That's really interesting. So early on in your career, did you think that, you know, being a chief executive was ever going to be like an aspiration for you?
Probably not. I think I would say I was quite driven and I wanted to push myself in whatever I decided to do. But I don't think I ever thought, oh, one day I really want to be a chief executive. And I suppose I started to think about that as other people kind of said it to me. So I had a lot of positive mentors and they were kind of saying, you have really great leadership skills, like it's quite natural. And I think from that, my confidence began to grow and I started to think, actually, I could take on some form of leadership position or a chief exec position. So I think, yeah, it was a bit of a journey for me in that way.
That's lovely. I'm going to bring in a cliche, but equally intriguing question to the table. What did you want to become as a child?
I don't think I had anything in mind, really. I didn't think some people are really clear, aren't they? They sort of say, I really want to do this when I'm older. It probably sounds cliche to say, but I think I always wanted to do something that made the world better in some way or helped people. But working in the charity sector didn't cross my mind. I don't think it's something that's well known when you've spoken about careers at school or things like that. But I think you kind of end up where you're destined to be.
Yeah, that is true. And so do you think as a child, if you knew you were going to take on this role, you'd be proud? How does it feel today?
Yeah, I think I would absolutely be proud. I mean, I was quite shy as a child. And I think I've really developed in confidence as I've got older. So as a child, I think I'd be really proud to see myself. I mean, I say this a lot, but I do take a lot of pride in doing this job, and I feel really privileged to be able to kind of lead a charity that's so good. Pharmacist Support's an amazing charity, so it is a great privilege.
Lovely. And what sort of challenges do you think women face when they're aspiring for a role like yours?
I think confidence can be a challenge for some, and there is evidence around that women do suffer with more self-doubt. I remember I attended some inclusivity recruitment training quite a few years ago now, and this stat always stuck with me really, which was the difference between men and women applying for jobs, particularly senior jobs, and the fact that men will go through kind of a job spec, and if they tick around 50% of it, they'll feel confident enough to apply. But women feel they need to tick 80 to 90% before they put themselves forward. And I always thought that was really interesting, particularly when we talk about women in leadership positions. Sometimes it's about women wanting to put themselves forward or feeling able to. And I think there's a confidence thing around there. I think care and responsibility can be a challenge. I think lots of women still take the bulk of care and responsibility. I mean, I've been a parent nearly my whole career. I had my first child when I'd just finished my degree, and then a second child 3 years later. So, and I was a single parent for some time, so I had that majority care and responsibility. So for me, that balance was definitely a challenge as a woman. And some judgment there sometimes around people kind of challenge you on whether you think you can have it all when you're bringing up children and you're trying to strive for a career, and that can affect confidence. And then I suppose mental load. So women tend to carry more mental load around kind of supporting and running households, whether that be caring responsibilities for children, parents, siblings, or other things. And obviously it's not just women who face mental load, but there's still a lot of studies show that women primarily take responsibility for keeping household routines, organising schedules, providing emotional support, and that can take its toll. And I think when you're trying to balance that mental load, maybe at home with the mental load that comes with a leadership position, that can be quite challenging.
Really interesting. So I know you mentioned that you were surrounded by people with great leadership skills and great mentors. But aside from that, how did you deal with your challenges?
I think having the mentors definitely helped me, because I think it helped champion me and support me. And I took advantage of professional coaching, which I thought was really useful, and also took advantage of supportive networks. So it can feel quite isolating, I think, sometimes as a woman in a leadership position. And I think having those kind of networks, and there's quite a lot available in the charity sector to help you kind of talk through challenges and help build your own confidence is really important. So I've definitely benefited from that. In terms of kind of balancing my career and responsibility, I've always been really fortunate, but I've worked in very flexible and supportive environments. And I think that's something I'm really conscious of. And we really advocate for at the charity as well, about building that positive workplace culture. So people can balance work and other challenges they might have. And I think this is something that I've definitely learned as I've got older, but not being afraid to ask for help and sort of say, I need support with this. I think with mental load, there's a lot of research around, you know, the toll that can take, but people don't know about it. So unless you make it visible and let people know what you need help with, it's really important to kind of share that load. And I think what's important about this, and when people delegate, sometimes people delegate and want to control a little bit. And I think what's really important when you do try and delegate is to pass a whole task over and sort of say, you know, you just deal with that and you don't have to think about it at all. So I think just learning to kind of delegate and ask for help has been really important.
Yes, I totally agree. And that's definitely something I've picked up on, even though I'm still quite early on in my career. Do you think it's a different experience for women climbing up the career ladder?
That's quite a hard question, because I suppose my experience is being a woman climbing the career ladder, so I've only got that experience. I think what I would say is, being part of kind of leadership networks, is that everybody faces different challenges, whether it's men or women, and that's really kind of difficult to kind of pin, because I think the challenges I've faced are not just based on me being a woman, but just challenges that you're facing every day, and it's how you build on them. I think that's why I'm a great advocate for being part of networks, because I think hearing other people's experiences and challenges and sharing and kind of learning from each other, and also being supportive in overcoming those challenges, are really important.
Interesting. And what message do you have for others, or even for women with similar career aspirations to yourself?
Well, I would always say kind of do what you think is right for you, because you only know that. And sometimes, you know, there can be judgment and there can be lots of opinion. But I think you've got to have confidence in what you want to do, and kind of just go for it. I've mentioned professional networks quite a lot, and personal and professional development coaching has been really important for me, I think, to learn a lot about yourself. Taking every opportunity that comes along. I was never frightened to kind of put myself forward for any opportunity for personal development. So I wouldn't be frightened to do that. And taking those opportunities to learn. I took quite a lot of training courses around leadership before I was even a leader, to kind of understand the type of leader I might be, and to identify ways I wanted to develop. And also, I mentioned earlier, I've always had an interest in kind of mental health and well-being. And I think it's really important, if you do have aspirations to kind of lead, be a chief executive, to really focus on yourself as well. Leadership can be challenging. It can be quite stressful. It can be quite lonely. So I think it's important to make time for yourself, your own well-being, focus on your own kind of personal resilience, because it can be challenging at times. So taking time for yourself, I think, is important.
Kind of just go for it. I love that. I'm going to remember that going forward as well. So a bit of a different question now, but I wanted to ask out of curiosity, what mental health and well-being concerns have you found in females in the pharmacy sector in particular?
Well, just building on the point I made about mental load, but that's across women in all sorts of careers. And women face unique challenges when they're dealing with kind of additional responsibilities. And evidence show that more women kind of, because of mental load, have a poorer sense of well-being, kind of lower levels of satisfaction within relationships. So that's something to kind of consider as a whole. Thinking about those working in the pharmacy sector, I mean, we do quite a lot of research around general mental health and well-being as a charity. And obviously there's more females work in the profession than men. So we've got to take that into consideration, and especially when the profession's at high risk of burnout, kind of 89% of pharmacists are at high risk of burnout. So that's a worry. I think for us, you know, drilling down into some of the services we provide, 76% of the individuals who come for counselling are actually women. Now, it might be that women feel more comfortable to put themselves forward than men, and that's a reason, but that is kind of a trend that we've seen. And when we look at our own kind of workforce wellbeing survey, there are differences between female and male respondents, kind of particularly kind of people rating their mental health. More men, 39% of men say their mental health is good or very good, compared to 30% of women. So there's a difference. Women are at higher risk of burnout, sort of 88% of women were at high risk of burnout compared to 80%. So there are factors at play. I suppose the whole profession kind of is at risk of burnout, and that's something to keep in mind. But there are those differences between women and men within the profession.
That's quite interesting. And going back to your role, what sort of traits do you bring to your role that might be different to a man?
Well, I think people's personal experience obviously shape who they are and their individual traits. Because not all women are the same, not all men are the same. So I think it's probably quite hard to generalise, and I can probably only take it from my own personal experiences, and think about how some of the challenges I've faced have kind of shaped me and how I lead. You know, I think other people being mentors and championing you is really important when you're at the early stages of your career. I think people, you know, recognising that you want to develop and help a new vet, something that helped me, and I try and offer other people who, you know, have similar career aspirations. And I think I'm really conscious of it in terms of how I lead. I think I definitely bring empathy to my role, and an understanding and openness to change, because I think that's important to be able to listen to what your team needs and kind of shape the environment to create kind of that inclusive environment and the right culture, and reduce the barriers as far as possible.
And would you say you still face some challenges or barriers as Chief Executive of Pharmacist Support today?
I think there's still definitely challenges, and I think that balance between home and work life, you know, it can be quite a stressful and busy role being the Chief Executive. But we do, you know, we are very lucky within the charity. I think we've created a really supportive environment. I think pharmacy as a whole is a really interesting sector to work with. I think there's lots of positive female role models, and it's quite inclusive, more inclusive than other areas I've worked before, I would say. And I do feel, you know, there's been some huge societal changes. Like, I've definitely seen that over my career, that has made it kind of easier for women in some ways. I think connecting with people, particularly professional networks, being able to do that online, that makes it a little bit less daunting if it's the first time you're kind of meeting new groups and you want to kind of dip your toe. I think there's legislative changes that's, you know, made flexible working much easier. And even the pandemic, I think, has really changed the way we work. So, there's a lot more flexible working practice, and I think that's opened up some opportunities.
It's lovely to hear that, especially about the pharmacy sector. And my final question for you is, what aspirations do you have for the future?
Well, I'm really proud of what we've achieved at Pharmacy Support in the last 5 years, and excited about what the future holds, really. We're just about to embark on our new 5-year strategy. And as I mentioned earlier, it's really rewarding to see the impact the charity has on individuals. And I know a lot of the work we've done in the last few years has really had a positive impact on individuals, particularly supporting people through the pandemic. I was really proud because the charity was actually recognised just late last year. We were recognised as Small Charity of the Year at the Association of Charitable Organisations. So amongst other charities that are similar to us. And I think that was really rewarding. And I think there's a lot more we can give as a charity. I think we continue to want to punch above our weight and make a positive difference. So I think, you know, it's exciting to develop a new strategy and see where we're going to go.
So that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you so much to Danielle Hunt for talking to us about being the Chief Executive at Pharmacist Support. I'm sure many of our C&D readers, including myself, have been inspired and taken on some valuable tips from Danielle, who has explained the challenges she's faced and how she's overcome them. For more news and updates on C&D's Women in Pharmacy group, please check out the C&D community via our website, chemistanddruggist.com. Thank you for listening.